Welcome to episode 91 of the Breakdown Worlds podcast. And guys, I'm alone. There's no Sterlock on this episode. There's no BGFH on this episode either. There's no co-host at all. I'm flying solo, man. It's all good, though. It's all good. We're going to make this work. We're going to make it work. Sterlock is going to be home soonish. I guess they're still on the road, and so he couldn't be in the episode today. But he will be back next time we have a show. And speaking of which, I will actually announce this twice during the show. I'll announce in the outro as well, in case you miss it during the intro. Next week, there will not be a show. Next week, myself and my fiance, Mr. Rayburn, who everyone knows and loves.
Hi.
She's there. We are taking a staycation week for the entire week, so no work of any kind, no nothing, just awesomeness, movie marathons, video game marathons, good times, good food, hopefully, and fun. It's something that we've needed to do. We haven't done anything like it in over a year, so I think it's about time. So we're doing it. Next week is that week, so no podcast at all next week. This show is going to probably be a pretty short one, number one, because I'm doing it alone, and number two, because I covered E3 last week, and I didn't want to I didn't want to overwhelm myself with a bunch of gaming news topics. There isn't a lot going on right now, besides the things that I'll talk about today. And yeah, some stuff happened, but I probably could have like scrounged up some more gaming news than I have. But I feel like a good short episode is a good thing right now. After a 3-hour E3 episode, I'm feeling a short one. So we got some good topics. Don't worry, we got some good things to talk about today. We'll get to all those things. In fact, let's get to them right now with some gaming news. Welcome to a Gaming News. In this episode of Gaming News, we'll be talking about, like I said, a few cool things. First of which is going to be the Windows 11 announcement / launch event that happened today. Because it is related to gaming, they did announce, among many other things, some gaming-centric features, such as over 1,000 games at launch on Windows 11 will have HDR upgrade enhancement built in. So Windows 11 is launching with auto HDR technology, much like the Xbox Series X has, where if a game supports HDR, it'll just automatically activate in that game when you play it. So there you go. Apparently over 1,000 games are going to support it, including the Age of Empires Definitive Edition. So there you go. Windows 11 also is going to feature deep integration with the Xbox app. It's going to be Game Pass, Xbox, all integrated into Windows 11. And, you know, I personally feel like they kind of already are in Windows 10, but it was a thing that they announced. So deeper integration somehow with the Xbox app. One thing that is significant is that xCloud is coming to Windows 11. So right now, if you're using the xCloud beta, you go to a website and you play your games from there. It's, you know, you launch your games via xCloud from there. Now it's going to be part of Windows 11. So I imagine it's not, you don't need the website anymore. Just choose your game and play it probably from the same area of the Xbox app that you'd play, or you purchase games in other ways. So that's a thing too. Let's see. There was other things too. Oh, here's a big one. Android apps are coming to Windows 11. Android apps. And presumably it's like all Android apps. Like, it's like full integration, because so much of Microsoft's, browser stuff is based on Chromium technology now. I guess it's really easy to integrate Android. And that's exactly what they're doing. So Yeah, Android apps. I've heard some positive and negative thoughts about this. Some people are concerned that Android apps will look too tiny and kind of ridiculous on your PC. Others are just happy about it because they like Android apps and they like the apps that they use on Android, and they're coming to Windows 11, so cool. I don't have an Android device personally, but if there are accessible Android apps that I couldn't otherwise try, hey, I'll be happy to try them on Windows 11, sure. Bring them on.
Bring them on.
Let's see. In terms of gaming, I think that about covers it. Pretty much deep integration and stuff like that. There's a couple other things, too. Like, Windows 11 will, according to the presentation that they gave, will better understand what you say to it, like for dictation and things like that. I mean, who knows? Like, you could demo that stuff and make it look good. So, who knows? Like, one can hope, I guess. I don't know. Not much talk at all about accessibility currently, in terms of that. I could have saved that for accessibility news, but there is nothing, so there's no point in holding off on it. I did see a tweet from one of the accessibility people at Microsoft that stated that he doesn't know what the accessibility deal is yet either, and he works at Microsoft, but he is confident in the people that he knows that do work on the Windows side of accessibility, so hopefully we can expect some good things. One can hope, I suppose. Other than that, it's supposedly a lot faster, differently organized. Apps have widgets now. You can make very specific layouts for apps that you want to appear a certain way. Stuff like that. It's a lot of cool presentation launch stuff. And, you know, it's probably going to be a fine operating system. In terms of release date, it is coming out for Xbox, or sorry, not Xbox, for Windows Insiders. Next week, they get a test build. But for the public, it is coming out sometime in the fall. It is currently suspected October will probably be around the time that happens. So Windows 11, y'all, it's real, it's happening, and it has gaming-related stuff in it. Right? Oh yeah, there is one more gaming thing for Windows 11. It supports the Microsoft Direct Storage technology, and so PCs that support this. So this is kind of a hardware-based requirement here to support this. But PCs that support this will be able to send assets directly to the graphics card, thus mitigating loading times and pressure on the CPU. So that's cool. It could theoretically speed up, performance in games in some cases. The games that support it and the PCs that support it, so that's good too. But not every game or PC will support that, so keep that in mind. Speaking of PCs supporting it, there is a checker online right now that you can run on your computer to determine whether your computer is ready for Windows 11. And if it is, you'll get the upgrade when it comes out in the fall. Okay, finally moving on from Windows 11. I get to talk about this amazing thing that happened. It's amazing and a little weird, and it turned out kind of okay and awesome, but I still get to talk about it because it was enough that it made the gaming news media. So here we go. Enter PlayStation in all their infinite wisdom. PlayStation held another online-only ordering event on their PlayStation website, which is what they did for pre-orders back when the PS5 first launched. So an online ordering event for PS5s held on the PlayStation Store website. And as you may know, if you listen to this podcast a lot, I got into the original ordering event. And I got a PS5 through that event. So you would think that since in multiple ways, especially with me, in many, many ways, Sony should already be aware that I possess a PS5, you would think that I would not receive an invite to this event, right? Well, I did. And I wasn't the only one. Several people across gaming news media reported receiving invites to this PlayStation 5 ordering event even though they already had a PS5. And Sony definitely knows when you have a PS5. Like, there's plenty of evidence for that, you know, to indicate that they know. Like, when you first launch your PS5, you get emails like welcoming you to PlayStation 5. You get, you know, I know they're automated, but still, it's like in a database somewhere, right? So, you know, when you play PS5 games, you might get emails about those games, or games similar to them, you know, whatever. But they know. And it's just so weird. These invites went out, and apparently they, you know, they went out to some people that didn't have PS5s, sure, but the fact they went to so many people that did already have PS5s is interesting. I posted a tweet about this, and I said, well, maybe PlayStation is testing the power of friendship and togetherness or something, because what the article was saying that I read online was that a lot of people were choosing to use this opportunity to take the invite and help out their friends who didn't have a PS5. Which is actually exactly what I did. So, thanks to that invite that I technically shouldn't have received, like I said, it turned out awesome, because thanks to that, a friend of mine is going to get a PS5, and it's awesome. It's tremendous. But it's just, I had to report on this, because Gaming News Media is covering it too, and I was like, this is just weird enough that I have to talk about it on the show. So yeah, PlayStation, try again, I guess? I don't know. Alright, next up, Xbox. They're doing a thing that does make sense for their ecosystem. I don't know how well it will be received given my experiences with xCloud, but here we go. Xbox is going to allow you to play Series S and X exclusive games on your older consoles using xCloud. So even if you don't have a Series X or Series S, if a game comes out that is exclusive to those high-end consoles, you will still be able to play it through xCloud. So on one hand, that's cool. It's in line with the way Microsoft works. It's in line with their ecosystem with Xbox. We've said it many times before on this show. Microsoft is not trying to sell you an Xbox Series S or Series X. If you buy one, cool. But they're not trying to sell you that. They're trying to sell you Game Pass. And if they can do that and allow you to play these games that are next gen, you know, or now current gen, on a console that isn't current gen in any way, then I guess in their eyes they win. But here's the thing. My experience with Xbox xCloud was... It was okay. But it was not as good as, say, Stadia, in terms of the technology behind the cloud gaming part of it. There was delay. There was sometimes significant delay. There was, we're talking about, if you've ever used PlayStation Remote Play, it's like that. It even includes the stutters that Remote Play has. It, like, stutters the same way, kind of jitters around for a bit, and then gets back to normal, and then it's fine for a little while. And then, you know, it does it again. So, it does all those things. So on one hand, it's a cool idea, and it, like I said, is in line with expectations for how Xbox handles their stuff. But on the other hand, it's like, do you really want to play next-gen games that way? Like, that might actually leave a bad taste in your mouth for next-gen games. Like, you're like, oh man, I had a bad experience playing The Medium or something on xCloud. I don't want to get an Xbox Series X at all now, or a next-gen console, you know, maybe that's all you've tried or all you've looked at. You know, it could be a negative thing. I hope it works out okay. I hope they improve on xCloud. The feedback that we were able to submit during the beta was pretty detailed, so I hope they take that into account. But as of right now, I'm just unsure about it. I just don't know if people will actually resort to playing Series S and X games on xCloud just because they don't have that console. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe I'm just wrong. I could just be wrong. That's fine. all right. Well, that is going to do it for... I told you it's going to be a short episode. That's going to do it for gaming news, which means it is time to move forward and discuss... Oh, you know what? Actually, I take it back. That's not going to do it for gaming news, because I just thought of one more thing that I'd like to just mention briefly. It's not going to be a huge segment, but here we go. PlayStation, we talked about Xbox not wanting to sell you Xboxes. PlayStation really wants to sell you PS5s. PlayStation has recently published a statement saying that they really seriously intend to ramp up production on PS5 to such a degree that they expect to ship for the next several years 22.6 million PS5s per year. Yeah. the PS5 is doing very well. I mean, scalpers and bots aside, the PS5 is doing very, very well. And some people are anticipating that it may be headed towards a legacy that might surpass that of the PS2, the best-selling console of all time. Maybe. And it looks like PS5 is trying to aim for that goal. So, we'll see what happens over the next several years. But hey, 22.6 million PS5s per year, it might just become easier to get a PS5 by 2022. They might have actually been correct about that. So we'll see what happens there. Anyway, that's going to do it for gaming news. And so now, we shall move forward to accessibility news. Welcome to Accessibility News. I don't know why I did that, because we always do weird stuff like that, that's why. Anyway, let's talk once again about Hades. Because on this show, as you guys well know by this point, we like to talk about Hades. We like to talk about it a lot. But the reason I want to talk about it today is I want to talk about how amazing the mods for blind accessibility for Hades continue to be. They're just so good. They're just so good. And they were good before. Like, when we talked about them before, they were good then. But now, ladies and gentlemen, they are out of this world pretty good. pretty good. So, for example here, the infamous door mod, which made us happy the way it previously worked. You know, you click on a door and it played the sound to let you know which door you wanted to go to. The thing is, this went through three iterations. First, you every time you cleared a room, the game would play the appropriate sound for the reward that was behind each door in the position of the door, so you could go find it. That was the first iteration. The second iteration is so used to working on video games. They took those away and replaced it with just a door sound that played in the direction of whichever door you selected from a menu of rewards. So you could still find the door you needed with the sound effect, but it would not be the sound of the reward itself, it would just be a door sound, because you only need one sound effect. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it's even better. Why, you ask? Because now, there is no sound effect. But wait, how is that better? Let me tell you how that's better. That's better because now you don't need a sound effect, because when you choose which door you want, you're teleported to it. I mean, right to it. To the coordinates of the door, you press right bumper on your controller, and you're in. That's it. That's all I gotta do. And guess what? That applies to rewards now, too. If you can't find a reward that's on the ground waiting for you to find it, you can bring up the rewards menu, which the keys for that is totally different now. So you press the back button on your... If you're using an Xbox controller, you press the back button, and then you press down for rewards, left for the door menu, up for your resource menu, and right for the shop menu if you're in a shop. So now, for rewards on the ground, you can press back button followed by down, and you'll get a list of the rewards that are on the ground. And you press A on the reward you want, and again, you're teleported to it. It's amazing. This applies to everything you can think of, from pools and, you know, purging pools and wells to the gods that you can choose in versus rooms when they're when you're going to fight one god to the other and get two boons for it. Those choices appear as rewards on the ground, so you can teleport to those too. So now there's no worry about finding them, which was always a pain because they make no sound. So it's great. You can teleport right to it. The shop now works this way too. Instead of automatically buying the item for you, which apparently was buggier than I realized, it does not auto-buy the item, it just teleports you to the location of the item that you want to buy. And then you just press the right bumper, and you've got it. It is magical. Magical. And just these things alone have served to just make it so much a faster experience, so much, in a lot of ways, a better experience for a blind player. It's just, it's amazing now. It feels great to play Hades now. You know, I feel like, you know, maybe not as fast as a sighted player, because I still got to OCR everything. I still got to read the boons carefully to make sure OCR got them all properly. But it feels much closer now. And keep in mind that this works in Asphodel too. So, even though you might, you know, you're still going to have problems with lava. I'm not going to lie. You're still going to have problems with lava if you don't have the no trap damage mod on. Because lava is going to be a factor in combat. But never will you have to worry about trying to find the next doorway in the middle of a bunch of lava, because now you'll teleport right to the door. Now, sometimes the door coordinates are actually in the lava, because that's the way the game works. Like, the plank that you're supposed to, the little bridge you're supposed to walk on to get to each door in Asphodel, takes you close enough to activate the doors. But the teleporting from the mod takes you to the coordinates of the door. And sometimes that happens to be in the lava itself. So my tip for that is press the button to activate the door as soon as you teleport to it. Like the same second. You teleport immediately as soon as you press A on the door you want. So immediately then press right bumper to activate the door and move forward. Because if you don't, you'll take damage. And even if you do, if you don't have sure footing, you're going to take at least one damage, but I think that's a small price to pay. It's much better than having to deal with the lava the way we were before, just trying to be as careful as possible, and sometimes just failing to do that and dying because we couldn't find the way to the door after we couldn't hear the sound effect of the thing. So it's overall a better option for us, I think. And for someone, you know, for me personally, I chose to not use the trap damage mod, so I still take damage from lava. And that's the challenge level that I want. But for me, this door mod makes me feel much better about making that choice. I feel like I can succeed still. And I have proven that. I believe I've proven that, because on my most recent stream of Hades, using these new mods, these new updated mods, I got past Asphodel to Elysium. I didn't beat the game, but I got to Elysium. So I have proven that I can get past Asphodel with lava damage still on, and using these mods the way that they work now. So it's just great. I love the Hades mods. I think they're amazing. And if you haven't tried Hades yet, I highly recommend trying it out, especially on PC so you can get the mods. It's totally worth it. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have tried it, because we talk about it a lot. But if you haven't, definitely recommend it. Next up, a game that is Kickstarter funded called Scarlet Shells, an audio game that is being basically revisited and redone. I don't know if it's entirely from the ground up, but a lot of mechanics are changing. According to a backer update, the combat system is being completely revisited, and now combos and like special moves are being crafted into the combat system, which is cool. I think that's a better idea than the pre-existing one, which, if you played the demo of Scarlet Shells, the publicly available demo, the demo that was meant to sell you on backing it on Kickstarter, essentially what that is. If you played that, the combat of that demo was very strange. Like, it was combat that tried to reward you for doing successive hits But the way that it rewarded you for that was by giving you invincibility. So, like, the game knew that you were gonna get hit. So it felt very strange to me. Like the answer to enemies attacking you, like surrounding you and attacking you, isn't to allow you to dodge them. It is to instead, if you do combos correctly, or not combos, but if you do like successive moves correctly, successive strikes correctly, you're just invisible, invincible to them. So they'll just keep hitting you, but it won't hurt. And you just stand there and you beat up all the enemies around you with successive strikes, just so you can stay invincible long enough to do it. It felt really weird. But this seems like a great move. This new combo system they're heading to seems like a great move. And I hope it is as cool as it sounds like it is. What they're saying in the Kickstarter update is that there will be hundreds of combos that can be unlocked, and those will lead to you doing special abilities when you complete combos and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm down with that idea. So, bring it on. They're saying they're going to be new characters as well to choose from, and yeah, I think this game does have potential. Like, I always thought that it does have some potential. I just want to see the combat system improved on it. It looks like that's going to happen. So Scarlet Shells, I root for you. I root for you. And that's kind of it. That's kind of all I've got for accessibility news. There is something really amazing that I wish I could talk about in terms of accessibility news, but I can't. I can't. And it makes me sad that I can't, because I really want to. Because it was so cool. But we'll get to it when we can get to it. I'm used to keeping secrets regarding video games, and so I can do it again. Yeah, I think that's kind of it for accessibility news, guys. I told you. I told you going in. This is going to be a short one. You knew. You knew all along. Yeah. Anything else that I want to talk about before we get to the outro? Anything else that I want to do a tangent on? We do like our tangents on this show, so I want to probe my own mind and figure out if there's anything else that I want to talk about during a tangent. I will say before we go that I think I'm actually mentally moving away from Night Manager. I think my time with Night Manager is nearly at an end. And my reason for that, because here's the thing, I am well aware that the last time I talked about Night Manager on this show, I was like, oh, I'm nowhere near done with Night Manager. I'm feeling great about it. I'm getting more powerful. It's really cool. And now I'm like, I think my time's nearing an end. Here's why. Two reasons, and one of them is the game being unfortunate, and the other one is I think the kind of a restructuring of the way the Alexa app works. So the first reason is I found out that even though you work really hard to get any hunting skills at all, any of them, you don't retain any of them between seasons. Even though you retain all your fighter skills, your hunting skills don't get retained at all, making the whole thing seem a little pointless to me. Like, I don't want to do that hunting grind again just to try to get a few skills before the season ends again and everything gets reset again. So that doesn't work for me. So that's my in-game reason. My Alexa app reason is this. There seems to have been a kind of restructuring about how the Alexa app parses information when you send information to it. So, like, what I've been doing, and I talked about this on the show too, I think I did anyway. What I've been doing for Night Manager is I've been using the type with Alexa functionality of the app. So basically, what you can do is go into a typing mode where instead of talking to it all the time, you can just type what you want to do. And I've been using that to play the game. And the nice thing about that is I've typed so many times the specific commands for Night Manager that they're now shortcuts in my typing menu on my keyboard on my phone. So because I've done that, and because the typing mode used to work the way it used to work, I could just spam the fight command over and over and over and over and over again, and I would proceed to just grind levels and stuff. And it was easy, and it was fast, and it was awesome. But now, there appears to be, from what I can tell, there appears to be a required wait time between command executions, like kind of a cooldown time. Because now I've noticed that if you go too fast, you will get request cannot be processed errors. And if you go just at the right speed, you won't get those. And now you can tell what that speed actually is, because there is now a thing where VoiceOver, I guess, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but for whatever reason, VoiceOver actually now reads the output of the Alexa app right as it shows up on screen automatically. You don't have to check for it anymore. It just reads it automatically for you, which is great, but it gives you an idea of what the time limit is like. So you cannot enter a new command. Let me put it this way. You can try. But if you enter a command before the previous one is being read to you, you risk just getting a bunch of timeout errors, and nothing will execute at all. So what that effectively has done is crippled the speed at which I could grind levels out. And the fact is, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to go slower. The reason Night Manager worked for me is because it could go so fast. The way it is now, I don't think I'm going to play it anymore. Or at least, like, if I do, it's really not going to be much. Like, I'm not going to put anything into it. I'm not going to worry about grinding up and being powerful. I'm just, you know, if I ever play it, it'll be casually. Like, I've popped in over the last couple days just to knock out a few fights. I feel a lot smaller of an impulse to play it, because I can't play it the way that I want to play it anymore. I can't be as fast as I was, and I don't have the time to be slow and actually make anything happen. It'd take way too long for me. So, that might be it for Night Manager for me, and it happened suddenly. Like, I hate that. Like, I was like, oh man, Night Manager is amazing, I love it, and I'm gonna play it forever. Yeah, I don't think I am, suddenly. So there you go. That'll be my tangent for the day. I don't think I have anything else to say. Let's see. I mean, there's a thing called Adventure to Fate Future Arena on iOS that is accessible to the blind that I tried last night, and I don't know. I don't think I like it that much. It's like a turn-based RPG-style combat, but it's just an arena battler, and I don't know. It's not gripping me, but it is accessible, so, you know, if you want something to kill the time with, there you go. Yeah, I keep coming up with stuff, but I think that really is all this time. That'll be that, folks, for accessibility news! And so now we're going to do an outro, and we're going to get out of here for this week. And that's it for episode 91 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. Again, flying solo today. Hope you guys don't mind. Hope you guys still enjoyed the show. What few topics I brought to you this week. Like I said, I was feeling a shorter episode, because last week's episode was nuts. I'm not going to call it. I almost said the word nightmare. It wasn't a nightmare. It was a blast to do. But my goodness, the crazy amount of notes that we took, me and BGFH both. The level of coverage that we brought to that E3 show. 3 straight hours of talking about video games, most of which that aren't even out yet. I mean, good lord. It was fun, though. So today's episode was a little shorter, but quite fun. Now, once again, I said I was going to announce this in the intro and the outro, so here we go. Next week, there will not be a podcast episode. This is because myself and my fiance, Misty Rayburn.
Hi.
Ah, I knew she was going to do it again. We know each other well. We're having a staycation week next week. So the entire week, no work, all fun, good food, and like video games and movies and awesome stuff. So there you go. So no podcast episode this next week. We will be back the following week with more cool stuff, and you know, maybe that one will be a slightly longer episode because we'll probably have more to cover by then. So hopefully, if PlayStation gets its act together and does an event, we'll have that to cover, because the rumor right now is within the next couple weeks they are supposed to have something, but that is unfounded, so we'll see. Anyway, thanks all for listening to the podcast this week. I love doing this for you guys. I love the podcast. I love the Breakdown Walls podcast. It's a cool thing that I've enjoyed doing for over a year now, and well, really almost 2 years now. And it's been a lot of fun. And I do it for you guys. So I hope you guys are listening and enjoying yourselves. Please feel free to provide any feedback, comments, questions, anything you'd like us to talk about in the podcast. We'll probably do it. We'll probably talk about it. Feel free to correct us if we get something wrong. We will take corrections. We've done it plenty of times before, and I don't intend to change that, so there you go. Above all, I hope you enjoyed it all, and thanks for listening, and I will not see you next week, but I, along with Sturlock, will see you in 2 weeks.